Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Over the last few weeks, we've been talking a lot about disappointment. And we've said that being disappointed is a part of life, but staying disappointed will destroy your life. And the reason that disappointment will destroy your life is because disappointment holds the door open for discouragement. And to live discouraged means that we live apart or away from courage. We live apart or away from the ability to control our fear. We live apart or away from the willingness to do difficult and unpleasant things. So we can see how discouragement can be so harmful in our lives. And whenever we begin to look at negativity, we see that negativity is the thing that follows disappointment and discouragement. Because if we live in disappointment and if we live in discouragement, then negativity will be a part of our lives. Now, this just hits a little different. This is completely different because most people are willing to say, you know what, I'm disappointed. Most people will even say, you know what, to be honest, I'm a little discouraged. But nobody wants to say, you know what, I'm just a negative person. But it is the truth. If you are living in disappointment and you are living in discouragement, then negativity will be the natural outflow of your life. What are we talking about when we talk about negativity? We are talking about the tendency to be downbeat, disagreeable, and skeptical. The tendency to be downbeat, disagreeable, and skeptical. Now, some people are negative by birth, and other people are negative by burden. Some people are born with a personality that leans them towards negativity. But other people are negative because of a burden, because things haven't worked out in life, because things have been really tough. And so negativity doesn't really come from birth. It really comes from their experience. And now here's the truth. The truth is that we are all going to experience negative outcomes in life. But just because I experience a negative outcome does not mean that negative has to come out of me. That's right. Just because I experience a negative outcome doesn't mean that negativity has to come out of my life. A negative outcome can happen by chance, but negativity always happens by choice. I want you to see that. A negative outcome, it can just happen by chance, but negativity always happens by choice. How does it happen by choice? Because we are choosing the wrong attitude. Now, there's a lot of things that we don't have control over. So many things right now happening in the world that we don't have control over, but there are two things that you do have control over. You have control over your attitude, and you have control over your effort. When we look at negativity, we can say that negativity is a pessimistic attitude. Negativity is a pessimistic attitude. Now, let's just take a moment and break that down. Pessimistic attitude. When we look at that word pessimistic, we get that from the Latin word pessimus that means worst. Now, we define attitude all the time here at North Point Community Church, and attitude is a settled way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. It is our settled way. It's what we've settled into, the pattern of our thinking, the pattern of our feeling when it comes to someone or something. So in life, because of our disappointment and because of our discouragement, we start settling into a way of thinking or feeling the worst. That's where that pessimistic attitude comes in. We start settling into a way of thinking or feeling the worst about someone or something. That someone can be yourself. That someone can be your spouse. That someone can be your boss. You start thinking the worst, feeling the worst, or it can be a thing. It can be your life. You start settling into thinking the worst about your past, your present, your future. You start thinking the worst about the world. And then this pessimistic attitude, this way of thinking or feeling, becomes a permanent mindset. And our mindset determines how we see everything. So when we develop a negative mindset, what do we see? We see the worst in our past. We see the worst in our present. And we see the worst in our future. We see what went wrong. We see what's going wrong. And we see what will go wrong. And what we find ourselves doing is living in a cycle. I want you to see this today. We experience disappointment, and when we don't respond to disappointment the right way, that disappointment opens the door for discouragement. Discouragement comes in and it begins to rob us of our control of fear, begins to take away our willpower to do hard things, and then that discouragement begins to bleed into negativity, and I begin to develop a negative mindset. I begin to see everything through the wrong lens. So then what am I looking for? I'm looking for my next disappointment. Why? Because I am focused on the worst, because I was disappointed in my past. I'm disappointed now. I'm going to be disappointed in the future, and I begin to live in a cycle of negativity. Now, let me just tell you what cements the cycle of negativity. What cements the cycle is when we begin to speak it. When we begin to tell ourselves things like this: no one will ever love me. My son is never going to change. I'm not going to get that promotion. I will never truly be happy. But can I tell you something about negativity? Negativity is not content just to stay on the inside of you. No, the negativity that you speak to yourself, the negativity that's in you, the negativity in you, it wants to get out. Why? Because misery loves company. That's right. Misery loves company. So we start releasing our pessimistic attitude and our negative mindset into the world and onto people around us. And we start saying things like this: you know, our company picnic is probably going to get rained out again. But you're thinking, well, wait a minute, last year's company picnic didn't get rained out. It got rained out 2 years ago, but the 3 years before that, we've had it. So only once in the last 5 years. Why are we focused on the one picnic that got rained out? It's because we have a negative mindset. We're only thinking and seeing the worst. People say things like this: you can't trust anyone these days. Really? Anyone? You're telling me there's not one person? Now, I agree, we can't trust everyone, but you're telling me there's not anyone, there's not one person on this planet that we can trust? People say things like this: the world is getting worse and worse. Well, wait a minute, time out. What are we talking about? Are we talking about health? Health is getting worse? Well, if you just go back to 1800, 40% of all children born died before they were 5 years old. I think we're doing a little bit better than that. If we're talking about wealth, since 1950, just in the last 70 years ago, almost 70% of the world was living in extreme poverty. Today, that number is below 10%. So I would say that's getting better. If we're talking about the kingdom of God is growing and advancing on continents all over the world like never, ever before. So when we find ourselves saying it's getting worse and worse, it's because that is what we are seeing, but that doesn't mean that it is always true. That's why here at North Point Community Church, we say the best is yet to come, because we have to fight against the negativity in our culture that is trying to get us to believe that things are really bad now, but they're only getting worse. You see, that is a negative mindset, and a negative mindset is not the kingdom mindset. When we read the scriptures, it becomes obvious that God does not intend for us to live with a downbeat, depressing, disagreeable, and doubtful demeanor. No, God has called us to live with a different mindset, to live with a different mentality. And we can see this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I'm going to read you some scriptures right now. And this is in the Message translation. I love what the Apostle Paul says. He says, "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking." I mean, he's saying, hey, think about what you think about. Think about how you're thinking. Think about why you're thinking that. Don't just fit in without thinking. He says, instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. I like to say it this way, that your attitude follows your attention. So what you put your attention on is going to determine how you feel and what you think. And so he says here, put your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out, because you'll be changing the way that you think, and that will change the way that you live. He says, readily recognize what God wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. Now, come on, that doesn't sound like disagreeable. That doesn't sound like doubtful. That doesn't sound like downbeat and depressing to me. No, God says, I'm going to pull the best out of you. I'm going to form maturity on the inside of you. Come on, that is not a negative mentality. That is the kingdom mentality. So let's look at a few scriptures right now that are going to help set our mindset, okay? How should God's truth shape our mindset? Romans chapter 5, verse 17, it says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Come on, it is through the greatness of God's grace and the greatness of his gift of righteousness that we get to triumph over sin. We get to triumph over death. You see, death ruled and sin reigned, but Jesus came and he gave us a gift of grace and a gift of righteousness so that we could overcome and triumph over sin in our lives. Let's continue on. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, it says, it is by his great mercy. Come on, there it is again. We see great grace, we see great mercy that we have been born again because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. Because of his grace, because of his great mercy, we live with great expectation. The expectation of heaven, the expectation of eternal life, the expectation of abundant life, the expectation of his promises being fulfilled. We get to live with that great expectation. Let's continue on. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And now we have this light shining in our hearts. But we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Come on, what is this great treasure? The great treasure is Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and his light is shining in our life. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. Now, I want you to notice, Paul says, you have great power. Now, it didn't come from you, but that means it still is in you. You have access to great power because the greatness of God that is living and dwelling on the inside of you, you have God's power. Now, let's look and see what that power does. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, it is by his divine power God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You have everything that you need for living life God's way. You have everything that you need to live the abundant life. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Come on, God has given you great promises. Come on, those promises just are not for the pastors and the missionaries and the evangelists and the small group leaders. No, these promises are for you. And do you know what one of those promises are? That you would share in his divine nature. What does that mean? It means that 1 Corinthians 2:16 is true. It says that you have the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to share in the nature of God. You have the mind of Christ. That is God's promise to you, that you can think higher thoughts. Come on, we say you got to elevate your thinking to elevate your life. And the reason that you can elevate your thinking is because God's power is working in your life, and His promises are true, and you can count on those promises. Now, whenever we read this, this is what we see. We see the greatness of God. We see the great love that God has. We see the great grace that God has. We see the great mercy that God has. When we read about the greatness of God and we see the great things that He has for us, come on, the great power that He has for us, the great promises that He has for us, the great provision that He has for us, the great plan that He has for us. When we see these things, we quickly realize there is no place for negativity. There is no place for negativity. There is no place for a negative mindset. There is no place for downbeat. There is no place for depressing. There is no place for doubtful. God has spoken to us in His Word about our mindset. That's why we have got to break this cycle. I understand that you've been disappointed. I understand that you've been discouraged. I understand that those things have created a mentality and a mindset and a way of thinking and a way of being. But can I tell you, we can break that cycle. And not only can we break that cycle, we must break that cycle. And it's probably no surprise to us why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul was a leader in the early church, and it's probably shouldn't surprise us at all that he writes as the church is being established and the church is growing, and he speaks so much about what we are thinking and the way our thoughts are being shaped. Let's look at a few verses in Colossians chapter 3. In the Amplified Version, it says, set your mind and keep focused habitually on the things above. Notice that. He says, set your mind and keep focused habitually. Not on Sunday morning, not once a month. No, set your mind in the right direction and then habitually make sure that it stays there. He says, set your mind habitually on the things above, the heavenly things, not on things that are on the earth, which are only temporal in value. Come on, Paul said to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, he says, and now, brothers and sisters, I close this letter. Let me say this one more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. You see, you can handle the negativity. You can handle it, but we are going to have to break the cycle. We are going to have to break the cycle. So how do we do it? How do we break the cycle of negativity? How do we break this negative mindset? Well, the first thing that we have to do is we have to give thanks. We have to give thanks. You see, whenever you give thanks, what you're doing is you're taking your focus off of what you don't have and you're putting your focus on what you do have. There is no way to change your attitude without gratitude. Gratitude is always essential. And now notice, it's not enough just to say, I'm a thankful person. It's not enough just to say, well, I'm grateful in my heart. No, that's why we say the first thing you have to do is you have to actually give thanks. You have to practice thanksgiving. You have to give thanks. Give thanks for whatever it is that you have. Give thanks for the breath that is in your lungs. Give thanks for the house that you live in and the food that you ate. Give thanks to God for the job that you have. But you can't just say, well, I'm grateful in my heart. No, you have to give thanks. Verbally express your thanks. Can I just tell you a few things that can really help you with this? things that I have just started doing this year at coming into 2020, man, I'm so glad that I started doing this coming into 2020, because whenever COVID-19 hit, I was already in this practice. But something I started doing is I started writing down three things every morning that I was grateful for. Three things every morning. Now, sometimes those things are like spiritual and deep, and sometimes those things are not that way at all. I'm just, hey, I'm thankful that I got a new mattress. I'm thankful for Starbucks coffee. It can be light, but we are practicing gratitude. Write down three things every morning that you're grateful for, and then in the evening, write down three good things that happened that day. Three good things that happened that day. You see, whenever you know that you have to write down three good things that happened that day at the end of the day, what are you looking for during the day? You're looking for good things to happen. When you're looking for good things to happen, guess what you're going to notice? Good things are happening. And then when you write them down in the evening, so many times those one, two, maybe even all three of those good things that happened that you wrote down the next morning, those will be the things that you are grateful for, that you can actually give thanks for. But if you would not have been looking for them, you wouldn't have even noticed them. And if you wouldn't have noticed them, you wouldn't have been able to give thanks for them. So it's not just about giving thanks. It's about redirecting your mindset to look for the good so that you have things that you can give thanks for. Now, if you say, Philip, I need some of this in my life. I need this gratitude. I need this Thanksgiving, that I have the perfect thing for you. Because this fall, we are starting something we've never done here before at North Point Community Church. We are starting gratitude groups. Gratitude groups are going to be meeting every week as part of our NCC groups. You can find more information on our website. Go to our app. We want you to get into one of these groups. The whole purpose of these groups are for gratitude, so we could practice Thanksgiving, so we can make sure that our mind is in the right direction and our thoughts are staying in the right place. We have to give thanks if we're going to break the cycle of negativity. But here's the second thing that we've got to do. We have to rethink thoughts. We have to rethink thoughts. We got to think about what we think about. What thoughts are filling our mind? Why are we thinking that way? You see, if you don't like what you're thinking, here's what you do. Rethink it. If you don't like the way that you're thinking, just rethink the thoughts. Now, I don't know, maybe you're a little bit like me. Just naturally, I tend to lean towards the glass is half empty side of life. Come on, everything that I'm sharing with you right now about negativity and all these are things that I have had to practice and work through in my life, because naturally I can lean to the skeptical, downbeat side of life. But here's what I've learned, that you can rethink thoughts. You can rethink thoughts. And so whenever you look at the glass and you say the glass is half empty, all you have to do is rethink the thought, reframe the thought, and realize, wait a minute, if the glass is half empty, then there's another half of that glass, and that other half is full. And better yet, you can rethink the thought even further than that, and you can begin to notice the water faucet that's right next to that cup and say, you know what? I can actually fill the entire cup up. You see, you can learn to rethink your thoughts. Just because that's the way you've always thought doesn't mean that's the way you always have to think. You can rethink your thoughts, and it all starts by asking yourself this question: do I have elevated thinking or do I have earthly thinking? Am I thinking about things that are above or am I thinking about things that are beneath? Am I thinking about things that are lovely and pure and admirable and honorable and good, or am I not thinking about those things? And whenever we realize we're not thinking about what we should be thinking about, come on, all you got to do is rethink the thoughts. Rethink the thoughts and try it again. It will help you break the cycle of negativity. Okay, what's the next thing that we have to do if we're going to break this cycle of negativity? And that is, we have to encourage others. The surest way to keep your head up is to help other people get their head up. Come on, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians, it says that we should encourage one another and build one another up. You see, that's not just for other people. That is also for you, because whenever you encourage, encouragement is the boomerang blessing. Come on, you know that boomerang. You throw the boomerang and it always comes back to you. That's what encouragement does. Whenever you begin to encourage other people, it's a boomerang blessing. It's going to come back to you. I promise you, when you start telling other people that you're going to make it, when you start telling other people your breakthrough is coming, when you start telling other people don't quit, when you start telling other people you're going to see a harvest, when you start telling other people these things, I promise you, you're going to grab onto some truth, you're going to grab onto some hope, you're going to grab onto some peace, and you're going to grab onto some of that encouragement that you've been given out, and you will encourage yourself simply because you are encouraging other people. You see, it is that boomerang blessing. Go ahead, bless others, and as you bless them, God will make sure that you are blessed as well. Encouraging other people will help you break the cycle of negativity. Now, here's the next thing that we have to do, and that is we have to act positive. We have to act positive. Now, this is what people always say. People always say, well, Philip, I don't want to pretend. Philip, I don't want to be fake. You see, I'm not pretending, I'm contending. I am not faking who I am fighting for who I can be. Yes, it will feel weird. Yes, it will seem inauthentic, but that's what change always feels like. Yes, it is going to be different, but you have to act your way into the positive that you want to be. You see, we have a saying that we say around here, and we say, don't feel your way into an action, act your way into a feeling. So what we're saying is whenever you come into church, don't wait till you feel something in order to worship. No, you come in and let the action bring the feeling. Don't wait till you feel like you love your spouse before you tell them I love you. No, let the action then bring the feeling. Don't feel your way into action, act your way into a feeling. But can I take that one step further for you today? Don't just act your way into a feeling, act your way into an entirely different life. Don't just act your way into a feeling. Act your way into an entirely different life. You see, it's not fake. No, this is your fight. You are not pretending. You are contending for who you can be. No, you are not that person yet, but you can be that person. You've got to break the cycle of negativity. And one of the ways you do that is simply by acting positive. You've got to act positive. And finally, the last thing that you've got to do is you have to trust God. You have to trust God. Many times, my negativity, my tendency to believe the worst while displaying a downbeat, disagreeable, doubtful demeanor comes from me not totally trusting God that he will actually do for me what he said he would do. My negativity comes from a lack of trust in God and a lack of trust in his promises towards my life. You see, whenever you trust God, you are trusting God to bring his greatness. You are trusting God to bring his love. You are trusting God to bring his grace. You are trusting God to bring his mercy. You are trusting God to bring his power into your life so that you might be great and do great things for his kingdom. You see, that is the kingdom mindset, receiving God's greatness so you can do great and mighty things. But you can't do great things with a negative mindset. You cannot do great things with a pessimistic attitude. You cannot do great things as long as you stay in this cycle. So we have to break the negative mindset, and we break the negative mindset when we begin to do great things. Whenever you begin to give thanks, whenever you begin to rethink your thoughts, whenever you begin to encourage others, when you begin to act positive, and whenever you begin to trust God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and when you do those great things, this is what happens. The cycle of negativity will be broke in your life, and you will see the greatness of God moving in your life, and you will see His greatness moving through your life so you can do the great things that He planned in advance for you to do. But this is not possible if we don't break the cycle. We have to break the cycle. Look at me and listen to me right now. I know there are some unfortunate things that happen. I'm not making light of those. There are some real disappointments that you have experienced in your life. I understand the reason why you are discouraged. I get it. I get that what happened was very painful. I get what happened was very real. I get that you were betrayed and you were done wrong. I get that. I understand why you were discouraged. But here's the reason that we can't stay disappointed and we can't stay discouraged, because it bleeds into negativity. And then our negativity begins to cloud the way that we see everything in our life. And when we're not seeing right, we can't live right. And we can't be who we need to be, and we can't do what we need to do if we are seeing through the cloud or through the lens or through the mindset of negativity. We must break the cycle of negativity. I'm not saying that these things are easy. I'm just saying that these things are essential. I'm not saying it's easy to give thanks whenever you have built a pattern of your life of giving complaints. I'm not saying it's going to be easy to rethink thoughts that have built themselves in a pattern in your life and a routine in your life, and they've always taken. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm just saying it's essential. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy to begin to encourage others when you have not lived your life with that habit, but I'm saying if you will begin to encourage others, you will be encouraged yourself. I'm not saying it's going to be easy for you to begin to act positive. I'm not saying that that's going to be simple, but what I am saying is that if you will do it, you will break the cycle of negativity. And if you will begin to trust God and say, God, I trust that your promises are real. God, I trust that your power is for me. God, I trust that your grace and your mercy and your love, that those things are going to change my life. God, I trust you. I trust your word, and I trust what you're doing inside of me. If you will do these great things, you will experience his greatness, and then you can participate in the great things that he wants to do on this earth. Come on, will you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth today. God, your truth is that your great love is available for us. Your truth is that your great grace and your great mercy is available for us. And you say, Philip, right now, I need to receive God's grace. I need to receive God's mercy. I need to receive God's love. I need to enter into an active relationship with God. Because you say, Philip, honestly, I don't have an active relationship with God right now. Lord, if that's who you are, I want you to know that his great love is available. His unconditional love is available for you today. His great grace and his great mercy, it's available for you today. Jesus came and sacrificed his life so that these things could be available for you right now in this moment. Maybe today you're saying, Philip, I'm caught in the cycle of negativity. There were some real disappointments. There were some real discouragements. And it has created some real negative thought patterns in my life, some real negative behaviors, some real negative words in my life. Those things, they are there in my life. We say, today I am ready to break the cycle. Today I am ready to begin to do these great things that you have mentioned so that I can experience the greatness of God and I can participate in the great things that he wants to do in this earth. Come on, today, if you are ready to receive his great love, today, if you are ready to break the cycle of negativity, come on, just say, that's me. That's me. I'm ready to break the cycle of negativity. I'm ready to receive the greatness of God today so that I can be the great person that He created me to be and do the great things that He created me to do. Father, thank You right now for the work that You are doing in hearts, the work that You are doing in lives, the work that You are doing right now in families as we watch. Father, we trust You like never before. And God, we believe that the best is yet to come. In Jesus' name. Come on, put an amen on that today. Hey, thank you so much for joining. Next week, we're going to wrap up this series, and we're going to be talking about how do we handle change? How do we handle change? Come on, so many things are changing. I don't want you to miss next week. I'll see you right back here.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.